today we're talking about Give, Serve, and Reach, which is part of a campaign that we started. We actually kicked off at a spaghetti dinner on Fridays. A lot of you guys were there. And the whole point of this idea, or at least where we got it from, is this idea of honoring Coaches Bob's 50 years in ministry. So, Bob, Bob was saying in first service he looked really cute when he was preaching at three in a three-piece suit with the bow tie. And Bob's been preaching for 50 years. And when asked by his buddy Joe, what do you want to do with this? Is a big monumental thing. Bob's biggest thing that he wanted to do was try to help Maywood raise some funds for some building needs that we have. So it's stuff like painting the steeple.
So
yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to interrupt you, Jake.
Go away. Go ahead.
So I was with a small group of people on Tuesday night. They're the folks who check your kids in to different events, and we meet on Tuesday nights because they miss some of the events that you all get to be a part of because they're checking kids in. And I looked at them. I know preachers. I've been around preachers for 50 years. I ought to know something about them. You all have, with Jake Taylor, one of the very best preachers that I know of. Amen. Maywood has a tremendous future ahead of us, all right? Okay? And it's not just bound up in Jake and Wayne and Bob and whoever else comes on the staff. It's not just about us, but it is about the giving and the serving and the reaching. And if we can have that culture within our church, not just over a time where we're trying to get your money and your labor, but if we can have that culture in our church, we cannot lose. But what's best about that is this community can be changed. If you look around this room right here and you see all of the strange-looking folks that God has brought to Maywood, Derek, I see you, man. You look at us. I mean this, and Jake says it. We said all the time, you are the hope of Western independence. You know, when you go out, they believe you. They. Man, I tell you what, if you guys walk up to the door and they don't run, they're going to listen. All right? All right? And so you have got a and I say that with humor, but you know how important it is. And so we've got to develop in us more and more of an ability to be who God's called us to be, because we can make an enormous impact in this community. And so let's not just enjoy having church at Maywood and hanging out with one another. Let's think about who can we bring as we give and we serve and we reach. All right, we can quit now and go home.
There you go. We're good. So we hear about the mission that we have. Makes me want to pray. Let's pray. No, you're good, Bob. God, thank you for Maywood. God, more than Maywood, thank you for your son. Jesus is the foundation we want to build everything else on. And today, as we get into specifics and details and examples, Jesus, I pray you would shine through. And I pray always for Maywood that you would shine through. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. So Bob and I were talking for this week about giving, which neither one of us love preaching sermons about giving, to be honest. But Bob has a couple of life verses. These verses that have spoken to him over the course of his whole life with Jesus mean a lot to him. And they fit into this idea of giving. What's the first one?
Let's look at it. And this is, I would so encourage you to just take some time and to do the entire Luke chapter 6. We're going to go to verse 38, but you'll give yourself a great gift if you just read the whole chapter. And then let the whole chapter inform this one verse. Okay? So let it speak to you the whole chapter, and then get to this verse and say, "Oh, I see." Okay? So here's the verse: "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Now, what's interesting here is this verse we use a whole lot when we talk about giving financially. Do you know what the surrounding verses are? Giving forgiveness, loving your enemies, not judging and condemning other people. So look at that. Give and it will be given to you. If you judge other people, what do you think is coming back at you? Judgment. And they're going to pour it in your lap and they're going to heap it over. It's going to run over. If you give unforgiveness, they're going to give it right back at you, more than you give. What you give, you're going to get, all right? But on the other hand, if you give love, and if you give grace, and if you give forgiveness, and if you give kindness, it's coming back. And quite frankly, we were talking a minute about money. If you give money, it's going to come back. And so Jesus gave us this as a roadmap. The other day I had a place to go to in Blue Springs. I was so thankful for GPS because, wow, we were out in the country, and you go down here, and you go down here, and you go down here. I said, when is this ever going to end? And then it said, and you're at your location. I said, no, I'm not. I have no idea where I am. All right? But when God gives us something, he gives it clear. This is a roadmap for your life. And this has been my roadmap since 1968. It's really interesting. I received an award when I graduated from college, and there was an insurance man who gave me the award. I was a business student, and he gave an award, and I was a recipient. And he found out I was going to be a salesman for God instead of a salesman of corn chips. And so he said this verse, and maybe it was one of the first times I ever heard that verse. He said this verse and quoted it over my life. And I would love to quote this verse over your life. So I'm looking at people. Give, and it will be given to you. Equal measure, pressed down. They will pour it into your lap. For with the measure you measure out, it's going to be measured back to you in return. And so as you do that, Maywood Baptist Church, Jake Taylor, and others, as we do that, as we give and we serve and we reach, we cannot lose. But what is best is this community cannot lose, because you will be released as God's mighty army out there and lives will be changed. All right? Verse 1.
That's the first one. That's good. Got a good one for you guys today. So we're gonna jump right into verse 2. Tell us the next one, Bob.
All right, yeah. Verse 2 is true also. And so it says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. And how many folks know the saying, my own best thinking is trying to kill me? All right. How much drama do we have in our lives that is centered around self-centeredness? I got to have my own way. You know, I got all of that junk. It's just got to be me. You know, I'm going to win, you're going to lose. That kind of thinking, how much of that is true? And here's how it works. We first start off being nice. Oh, honey, can I have this? Uh-uh. Well, then we get sort of persuasive. I used to tell my kids, you all ought to sell used cars. Excuse me, Dan. But right. I told my kids, you all ought to sell used cars. And they're 8 years old, and they're working me. I mean, I have never been worked that hard trying to buy a car in my life. And they're working me. So they start off sweet, and then they start off persuasive. And you know what the next one is? Well, I hate you. I mean, no, I just hate you, right? And that is life. And you think about the drama in your world today, the drama at Maywood Baptist Church. You think about the drama. How much of this drama is focused around people trying to get their own way and not caring about anybody else? Huh? And so the Lord says, if you live like that, you're going to lose your life. Literally, you're going to lose your life. The most miserable people I know and the people who make everybody else around them miserable are folks, it's all about them. And they may be sweet, but they're controlling. And they may be ugly, and they're controlling, but it's all about them. All right? But here's the best part of it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel, they'll save it. If you can somehow learn to give up your life and to surrender yourself to Jesus fully and completely, you will have the life that you always wanted and God wanted for you too. All right? Now, let me tell you, it's not easy. Jake has got some great teaching on this. He calls it solitude. He talks about people getting alone with God for an extended period of time. I'm not talking about 5 minutes. I'm not talking about reading Jesus Calling in the morning. You can do all of that stuff. But I'm talking about really getting alone with God and getting honest. By yourself, somewhere, wherever it fits for you. Take your Bible, leave your phone at home, leave all your things that distract you at home, and sit down before God and say, God, we got to talk. My life is a wreck. I have problems. I have needs. You have answers. God, will you show me myself? Let me look at myself. Let me see who I am. Let me see how much that first part of this verse is true. I've been trying to save my life all along, and I've somehow got to give it up. God, show me myself so I can live your way. I would so encourage you, if you would do that, your life will be immeasurably changed for the good. All right? So let's leave that.
You can't listen to Bob and not think like, yeah, that's good. You know, like, I want that and that and that. You listen to him, you think like, yeah, a guy told Bob this 50 years ago, the verse right before it, and then Bob lived that way for 50 years. All of us think like, I want to be that sort of person. Somebody says something true to me and I just live it out for decades. I want to be the sort of person that this verse is talking about, where I give of myself. I don't hold tightly. I give it to Jesus. And if you get to know Bob well, you see that example. He doesn't hold on tight to good things. He gives them. But maybe you know yourself pretty well, and you're like, "But all that's good, but I'm broken. All that's good, but I'm not going to be able to do it right." So if you feel like that today, I've got a little story for you before I get to a couple verses. Stick with me on it. So when I was a little kid, most of the nights my mom would make dinner, and my dad worked nights. But on occasion, rare times, my mom would be gone for whatever reason. My dad would cook, and I would always get excited. My siblings would get excited because typically dad would do what we called Brenner, which is like breakfast for dinner. And typically just pancakes is all I could really remember. So, and now looking back, I could see why dad just made a bunch of pancakes for us kids. Like, I could see it from his side. But as a little kid, I just thought this is awesome to just get pancakes at 6 o'clock at night or whatever. And so I was excited about the pancakes. I loved them, but I never, you know, if my brother or sister wanted them, I didn't, like, hoard any of it. It was just like we're passing around because there was an endless supply of pancakes coming off the stove as far as 4 or 5-year-old Jake was concerned. So when I grew up, unfortunately, I had to come face to face with something that's really tragic when you see it, is that the last 10 years I've met several kids who did not have parents always there for them feeding them. And so for whatever different reasons in each case. But so these kids, even when they're in a loving environment, they will just gobble food like you wouldn't believe. And they'll just sweep it into their mouths, like faster they can even chew. They'll swallow food whole. They will have food, and they'll look like chipmunks, you know, food in their cheeks. But it's sad. Like, it's not cute because they're like, chew and slow down. And these are kids that if they're a little, and they're not picky about anything because pickiness is a luxury. I mean, most of us don't view it that way. But if you are worried about not having enough food, then you will eat anything that looks like food. If you're a little kid, if you don't have any control over stuff. And if they're a little older, then they start to hoard food. They will steal random bits of food, and they may not be old enough to really figure out what goes bad and what doesn't, so they're hiding things that are going to go bad in a few hours. They're hiding it in drawers and stuff like that. When you come into contact with a kid like that, I don't mean this in a bad way about the kid, but like that kid is, they're broken in the sense that like their trust that they should have is broken. Like they don't trust that the adults around them are going to feed them. And that's how God designed humanity. Like little kids aren't supposed, they're dependent on someone else to feed them. So when that trust gets broken, they do all these unhealthy things. And you can spot it right away. You sit down at one meal with a kid like that, you know that kid at some point was hungry and not just one night. So I say all that sad story to say some of us have had spiritual pasts and we act like those little kids act because we've been broken on the inside. And so we gobble up anything that looks like love, anything that looks like satisfaction. We don't really look at it first. We don't really chew it. We just swallow it. We do it in unhealthy ways. And then we hoard way more than we can even use right now. And that's a spiritual sickness, to hoard. But when you look at our country and then you look at other countries, you think like, why is America like, why do we have to have so much and not feel like we have enough? There's a spiritual sickness in us. And ultimately, the root of it is, I think just like for those kids, the root of it is they don't have trust in a parent. And those kids don't have trust in a parent probably for a good reason. But for us, I want to read you a verse about our Heavenly Father and what his attitude is towards us. So here's what Jesus says about God in Matthew 7:11. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God wants to be your good father. Some of us don't even know what a good father looks like. God will show that to you. He's saying, I want to give you good things. The verses, we didn't have time to get into all the verses today. A few verses before that's talking about ask, and it'll be given to you. Knock, and the door will be open. Seek, and you'll find. This idea that God's saying, ask me. If you heard what Bob was talking about and think, like, I want to be a more generous person, strangely enough, I would say the truth of how you get there, you start by asking God for help. You start by saying, God, this is what I need. These are the basic things that I have to have, or these are the things I really want. You start asking and opening up to God. Now, when you ask for stuff, God might tell you no. I mean, this says he wants to give us good gifts, and sometimes the stuff I pray for isn't good for me. So God tells me no, you know, on the daily, you know, to be honest. Like, there's a lot of prayers, and not all of them get answered, okay? But God wants to give to us. And the next verse is maybe the ultimate command about giving, but it comes after this, okay? It comes with a so. It says, so, because God's our good Father who gives us what we need. It says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Jesus says we have to love in a great way to other people. But the reason, the thing that powers that love is that God has provided for us. If you're here today and you don't know deep in your heart that God's going to provide for you, that God's going to take care of you, then that's where you start. You go to him and say, God, there's something broken in me. I need your help. I can't get out of this dark place on my own. And when you start asking him for things, he'll take care of you. He'll show you the way to get to a healthier life. It requires obedience. It requires trust. But yeah, it does. Amen. So you can't just pray a prayer and then walk out and be crazy and expect it all to work out. But you pray and say, Jesus, here's all I have. I'll do it your way. He'll show up and he'll take care of you. And then you can give to other people. Then you're ready to give. Bob, do you want to talk to us about when you're ready to give, what does it look like?
Yeah, let's go to the next verse. Let's look at that. So this is a good one right here. It says, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let's just talk about that for a minute. Why does God love people who are cheerful in their giving? Why does he do it? The most famous verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world, right, that he gave. What did he give? He gave the most precious possession he had, his only begotten son. Why? so people like you and me would not perish. We would not perish, but we could have everlasting life. And why does God love cheerful givers? Because when we give from our heart cheerfully, we're beginning to take on his nature. Jesus came in the world so we would become like him, so we could enjoy life and eternity with a quality of heart that can enjoy the presence of God of love. That's a whole lot said in about one sentence, but I hope that you grasp that. So what does it practically look like to give? First of all, I would so encourage you, I cannot say it enough, to cultivate a giving heart. If you can do that, if you can somehow learn to get beyond yourself and start seeing the world through the eyes of other people and through God's eyes, that's enormous, okay? Enormous to cultivate that giving heart. And I take you back to Luke chapter 6 and Jake's idea about going off and being alone with God. Take Luke chapter 6 and spend some time there and look about what does it look like to forgive people, and what does it look like to pray for my enemies, and what does it look like for me to stop spewing all this judgment and criticism out of my mouth that comes so frequently in our lives. What is it like for me to change that so that in turn I can be full of God's joy in his giving? Spend some time asking God about that. Lord, what can I do? How can I do that? I would so encourage you to do that. And then I'd encourage you to practice something that's pretty hard, and that is some financial giving. Tony and I don't know if she's here and here or not. She may still be trapped in the nursery. But Tony and I have been married 40 of the 50 years I've been preaching. And amen, you can applaud for that. She handles all of our bills. She pays all the bills. I tell her all the time, I said, "Dear, you've got to live longer than me because I don't know where anything is." And so just in case you all are wondering about that. And so we are, as a partner, we have financially given our 10%, which is a tithe, and then beyond that. And quite frankly, I like to make money so I can give money away. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying it's fun. If you can make it and give it away, there's no more joy. And so I just want you to know that's the way it is. And so I would encourage you to challenge yourself to think about how can I give. And I'm going to be specific about this building. There's some things we need to fix. We have a parking lot that needs to be reworked. All you got to do is go out and look. There's some carpet. You know when this carpet was put down? This carpet was put down 2 years before two of my three kids were born. And one of them is the mom of my grandkids. So we need to work on that. So think about that. I'm going to pick on Derek for a minute. Derek, where are you, man? Raise your hand. Derek Dethridge came up to me. He came up to me Friday night. By the way, thanks to all of you for Friday night. It was wonderful. All you people that worked really hard and all you people that came. Derek came up to me and said, "Bob, I don't have any money. I am totally broke." I said, "Derek, we don't want your money. I want you to keep bringing people to church." And he said, "I'll do that." And so he also offered any labor he can do. Lots of this building was built by people who volunteered their labor and their time. And so we'll take all that labor, and we'll be talking about that. Amen? Yeah. But the man or the woman who's in here saying, "Man, I don't have any cash right now," don't worry about it. Bring in people. Bring in people. Bring in your friends. Say, "Man, I found out where you can get new life. I found out places where people just like me have hope in their lives." Do some of that. Amen? All right? So that's a piece. And I just want you to look at this. Cultivate in your life. Please, cultivate in your heart life a giving spirit. For some of us, that's a real hard job. Your illustration is so true. Some of us, I grew up in abundance. I had a giving dad. Let me just real quick. When my dad died, my dad was an attorney for longer than I've been a preacher, over 50 years. And when he got towards the end of his being an attorney, he didn't charge anybody anything. And so there was he died. We went to the visitation. We were back at my brother's house, and the phone rang. An African-American man who was one of my dad's clients had had his foot amputated because he was a diabetic. He checked himself out of the hospital to go to my dad's funeral visitation. You talk about that was the highlight of my whole dad's service. And he couldn't make it in time, so he wanted to call my dad, my brother, and give him his regards. I grew up with an abundance mentality. My dad was a giver. My brother is a giver. I had that in me. Some of you have grown up with just the opposite. It's that scarcity mentality. I've got to have it all for me, you know? And you grew up with that. You've got to challenge that. You got to fight against that. You got to say, I'm not going to accept that because it's killing my life. And I want to be like my Savior and give just like He gave. And so whatever it takes, get out there and challenge it and win it. All right? Why don't you pray for us, Jake?
Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you are the ultimate giver. That when we give, we're imitating you. And you invite us to give so we can be like you. And God, I pray for everyone in the room today, Lord, whether it's a pledge card right here at the foot of the stage, whether it's bringing someone to church, whether it's doing something outside of Maywood for you, Jesus, I pray for everybody in the room today to have a spotlight on the thing you want them to be about, the gift you want them to give to someone else. So in Jesus' name we pray, amen.